Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to me by Komot Yerushalayim, is daf Kuf Mem Gimel. We are holding at the head of the Mishnah, close to the top. Beit Shammai Omrim, Ma'avirim Mi'al HaShulchan, Atzamot U'Klipin. What happens when you finish eating and you've left various things that are themselves not edible? So you have bones that are there, or maybe shells of various nuts that you were eating. Now, according to Tosis, we're talking about where these things are actually edible for animals. According to Rashi, we're talking about even if they're not edible at all. So Beit Shammai says it doesn't matter, you could just take them off directly with your hands. And Beit Hillel says, Misaleket atablah kula menara, you take off the tablecloth that's at the table and you shake it out. Or it's a question whether you can move it somewhere else to shake it out where it is, but in any event, you have to remove it and shake it. You can also take off of the table crumbs that are pachot mikizayit and sa'ar shalafunim, the sa'ar adashim. Now these are the outside rim sa'ar, but they're actually the pods or the hairy piece of that's connected to the motes that's around the grain, either of peas or of other legumes. Because these things are considered to be edible for animals, and therefore there's no need to do any type of shinui. You can just take it off with your hands. Svok. Now, the question over here is, how about wiping off the counter with a sponge? So, im yeshlo or beit achiza. If this sponge is connected to a handle, not handle, what they usually do is, we do that today also. Of course, we don't use leather, but we use a plastic or something. So, we can handle with a plastic, and on the plastic is connected a svok. So, if you have a handle on it, then mekam chinbo. Then it's possible to use it to wipe off your counter. Now, why that is true is major machloket. Let's first finish the mission. We'll talk for a moment. So, if it has a beit achiza, mekam chinbo. But if it doesn't have a beit achiza, you have to hold the sponge directly in your hands. Then a mekam chinbo. And our girsa is benkach u'benkach. But in any event, it's only a kli shemalachta la'itzer, and therefore, as our Rashi learns, therefore, if it's dry, nital b'shabbat. It can be carried b'Shabbat as it is, no matter whether it has or does not have, if it's l'tzorach, gufa l'tzorach b'komo. And it is not mekabel tumah. Now over here, again, the question is how we're identifying this spoke. If we mean literally a sea sponge, then it would not be mekabel tumah simply because it is an animal, and a dog, a yam, is not mekabel tumah. And therefore, it's clearly not a kli of any kind. So you don't have to come on to any other type of analysis. And that is the part that the Oroch learns, although he doesn't seem to know what a sponge is really, but he thinks it's a piece of the fish. But in any event, it certainly is not going to be makabel tumah. Rashi says not makabel because it's not included in any of the dinim of the kelim that the Torah speaks about, which is eitz or peged or sacrament and so on. Or cheres, what is this? Why would it be included? Not because something in the yam per se is not makabel tumah, but because it's not included in any of the sets of kelim. So now the question is,
the question kelim makes the differentiation between that which comes from that day of rages, that which comes from the amenat. So why isn't it that?
So apparently they don't hold it. That's what his folk is. Those who showed him talk about the oruch say that lechora, if it's like the oruch says, that the svog is a fish. They didn't realize that the svog is, I mean, a fish, obviously not a fish in English, but that it's a living organism, sort of. I mean, it's a cooperative, it's not really a living organism in the normal sense, but it's a cooperative organism. And because of that, it should have the dinim of coming from the yam. Okay, but they speak it out, but if that's true, if that's what it is, then that's what it is. No. Okay, so the shaila is, I mean, we know that it really shouldn't make much of a difference whether there's a handle on the svog or not a handle on the svog. If you're going to wipe your counter with it, then lechora, by definition, you're going to be sofer. It's major, three basic deot here that have massive implications. So most learn, when Rashi learns that the issue over here is if it has a beit achiza, then you're talking about something that is not a necessarily going to happen, because that it's not a sikresha. Huh? So if you use it to wipe your counter, it isn't necessarily going to be nischat. Mashenke, if you're holding it in your hand, then it's definitely going to be nischat. Now, obviously, the only way to understand that is that they have, Rashi, those who hold this approach, has a different understanding of the nature of schita. Because to say that the water is going to get on the counter without its coming out of the sponge through schita is ridiculous, by definition. That ought to be schita. So it's clear that they understand that the nature of Shechita, and they're calling it, then it doesn't have to happen. So according to that, the nature of Shechita, L'chora, and I'll tell you why there's an option, it doesn't mean that, but that the nature of Shechita is specifically squeezing as opposed to a general pressure. That's not the derech in which you would get something out. You're just putting it over, so that's not called Litzchot. Now, there's a completely different pshat, which is the Ravitz pshat. The Ravitz pshat is that once you put a handle on it, we view the entire thing as a container. And therefore, the sfog is a container of water because of the fact that it's now itself held with a handle that surrounds it. We don't look at it as being nischat at all. That's the point. And therefore, we can even squeeze it because all that's happening is that it's coming up. The Tosis Reed holds that, according to him, and he has a different gears. According to him, it's a beinkach ubeinkach. The Chachamim argue. The Chachamim omrim beinkach ubeinkach. It's soifek b'shabbos. You're allowed to actually squeeze it, according to him, on Shabbos. And he says, and his washer is mikan chingo, and he told. So you could actually squeeze it on Shabbos. Now, the reason that he says you could squeeze it on Shabbos is a fantastic idea. And that is, he says that there's only two issues. Either mifareik, which is dash, or liban. Nobody washes sponges. And therefore, that's not something that is, you have to worry about liban. It's not the derech of liban. As far as shechita in terms of dash, mifareik, you see from here, says the Tosfos Reb, that Mefarek is only where something has its own natural liquid. You put liquid into something, and you squeeze it to get it out of it. How is that Mefarek? Mefarek is where something is contained within the deep, what's Disha? Where the grain grows this way, and I have to take out the grain part from the inside part, break them apart. What does that have to do with getting water out of a sponge? You put it into the sponge. So no, nothing to do with it. Therefore, all of the other issues he learns are always in terms of libud. And since sponges are not malabim, there's no problem. This has massive impact. Well, we don't pass him like him, unfortunately. Most of the posts can actually follow the Rashi and Tosis approach, which, of course, leads to the problem of the wipes. And the question is, are the wipes, are they basically sfogim or not? So as far as libud is concerned, there are heterim vis-a-vis libud. Because something which, in general, is thrown out is not the derech to be malabim. The wipes are not used. The shaila over here is, if there's no handle on the wipe, what heter is there to use the wipe? Isn't it exactly the same as the sfog? Now, one could say that the wipe is not as he is sfog. The whole point of a sfog is that just touching it, really, if it's with your hand directly, you're always going to be pressing one part above the other part, and therefore it's considered to be, by definition, so hate. Whereas the way Rashi does it is understand if we're correct, and they're not really trying to say what the Ravid is saying, and they mean exactly what they're saying, that it's just simply not a psik ratio. So according to the Ravid, it would make a difference. So if it's just not a psik ratio, it may be that something that is not as easily sochetable, and basically the water is close to the surface, and doesn't require squeezing, that would be similar to using the sfog on a surface, on a counter surface, and so on. But I must tell you, a simple heter it isn't. Most Boskim would not go along with using those things on Shabbat. Okay, that is our Mishnah. Let's continue. Omer of Nachman, the Mishnah as it is stated is wrong. And in fact, Anu Ein Lanu, our Kabbalah is absolute about this, that the Mishnah has reversed the Shittot. That actually Beit Shammai is L'chumra, as is usual. And he's the one who possibly attacked Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yehuda is the one who holds a mukta, and therefore you would not be allowed to take off with your hands the dirty things that are on the table that are not considered to be currently Wila Achila. And it's Beit Hillel, who is his wont, to be Mako. And this is another case where he's Mako. And he follows Rabbi Shimon's Pesach, which means that there's no problem of Mukta. Therefore, Rashi learns, it doesn't point out that he doesn't understand how Rashi's going to figure the rest of the Mishnah in the Sugya. Therefore, Rashi learns that we're talking about Atzamot and Klipin that are not Roy for a Behema. And Afal Pikin, Rabbi Shimon, is Matir, because he doesn't know the Mukta. This doesn't point out the whole Sugya is assuming that we do require at least Roy for Ma'achal Behema, even according to Rabbi Shimon, even if it only became Roy for Ma'achal Behema today. It doesn't matter, but that's the reality. Okay, keep that in mind, and let us continue. Ma'avir me'ala shokat pirurim. Now, this seems to be a raya to Rabbi Yochanan. Don Rabbi Yochanan, pirurim she'in ben gezayet asur la'abdan miyad. You're not allowed to just throw it out, says Rashi, the understanding is, since it says ma'avirin, it's mashu, you don't dump it in the garbage pail, but you could take it off of the table, but you can't throw it out. Tosfos says that we know very clearly from other sugyas that actually Rabbi Yochanan says pirurim she'in ben gezayet mutar. And therefore, his girsa in the Gemara here is that it's mutter. And sin, and his diak is that since we're going to, the Mishnah, we're going to see, insists that something is mutter only because it's royal of the hema, mipneshu ma'achal the hema. Well, because of that, it must be that there would be a difference between ma'achal the hema, which would be mutter la'abdam, and ma'achal adam. And therefore, when it comes to Sylvia, the pirun, if it's pochus, because I is, that we're assuming that you can throw it out, which must be that it's less than because I it's mutter to get rid of. This whole issue, by the way, we actually posit is brought by halacha that even though you maybe can throw it out, it's kosher la nirs. It should not be thrown out. So there are some people very mocked, but not particularly if it's more than a kizayit, not to throw out Oakland, no matter what. You find these people put out for the birds, everything, and so on. You see pieces that are left out there. Because of this kosher, it's kosher la nirs, and so on. Sa'ar shalofanim. Now, who is this going according to? This is Rabbi Shimon, right? I mean, otherwise, how could we move the afunim off of the table if it's not roy for an adam? So then, why does it say, if we're going to leave with Rabbi Shimon, I mean, the same Rabbi Shimon who holds that there's no isser of muksa, again, obviously there's some isser of muksa, but nothing like the original takona of muksa, and there's almost nothing of muksa. What's left is maybe 5% of what was originally also Rishon muksa. So that's why we say let lay muksa. Obviously, we saw that muksa was mius, we would hold it. Various muksas that we're used to, something that is actually currently being involved in this, or where it may come. Okay, we'll see his cases, but in any event, that's what we call let lay muksa. But the same Rabbi Shimon that doesn't hold a muksa doesn't hold that there's an isser and davar shenamit kaveh. So why is it prohibited in the Mishnah to use a sponge on your countertop if your kavanah is not for shechita? So ask the Gemara money. The first part that says that you're allowed to wipe off. When I say wipe off, by the way, this is the question over here. What would be misalik at a tabla kula menara? Now that we're saying that that isn't true in this case, but how about if it indeed isn't edible b'klam? So over there, we just still would have the halacha even according to Rabbi Shimon, which is how we pass it. I'll leave a taisvus that it has to be roy lachio. What if it's not roy lachio? What if it really is complete junk, completely inedible? Somebody's been eating pistachios, and pistachio is not edible by anybody. No animal's going to be able to eat pistachios. Can you move the pistachio shells off of the table? So then the original girsa that we had here in Beit Hillel, misalek at the tabla kula menara, would kick in. You'd have to actually not move it directly, as we're going to see, but you move it al yaday, moving the tablecloth. It's a machlok, and I think it was Rabbi Yaakov that raised this yesterday, whether tiltum menatzad means any type of tiltum menatzad, as long as it's not directly with your body and so on. I told you we're going to be getting to this, so here's a little bit of that issue. There are those poskim, including the Shkanar of the Rav, was machalik between, and the Chazanish, machalik between moving something directly, let's say you take a knife, you move it with a knife or something, right? But that's not called tiltum menatzad, and that would be usher, and that's why we're only saying it can be misalik for tablo menara. And because you're not actually dealing with the substance directly, you're dealing with something else. You're not in direct contact with it through something else. Others are matir, and therefore where the Mishnah is actually matir, and he says you can wipe off the table with something else. You know, use a knife or some kind of one of those devices that picks it up. Okay, in any event, we'd be talking therefore according to Rabbi Shimon. So then the svog is a davar shenamit kaveh, and why can't you use? Even if it would not have a Beit Achizah, same as Sefer, the Mishnah insists that Svogim Yeshua Beit Achizah Mekankhim Bo Vim Lavein Mekankhim Bo, but that's only true Alibet Rabbi Yehuda, who holds a Dover She'enu Mitkavein, is still Osir. Ah, once again, our standard answer kicks in, bleep. Ba'ah, Filo Rabbi Shimon Bode, Dabayev Ravet Amrit Avayu, Moder Rabbi Shimon B'Psik Reisha V'Loyamot, bleep. So that means that what we're talking about when it comes to Svog without a Beit Achizah is there's no way to hold on to that thing without giving it a kvetch. So in some way it's going to be bein etzba otav is the lashon rishon, between your fingers, the way you move your hand, you're going to be squeezing parts of the sponge. But if it's in something else, then despite the fact that the water is coming out, when you rub it along the counter, that's called the surface. And very interesting idea. It's not necessary to actually squeeze it. That means that water that comes out of things that are wet on the surface, and they'll transfer that water to something else, that's not called shechita. Very important thing to know from here.
In terms of plastic, different than what we're talking about here?
Plastic sponges, you mean? Artificial sponges? No, it would be the same thing.
They don't absorb it.
Yeah. What do you mean, don't absorb? Do absorb.
No, I'm talking about the...
You're saying with a handle.
Rubber balls and some of the
those aren't svogs. Those are hard plastic balls. Those aren't. No, that's not.
Yeah.
Hanigar inin de tamri al meyata. Now, when you finish eating a date, there is a hard shell that's left behind that's not edible for humans. So now the question is like this. If the tamri al meyata, which is a type of tamar which is low quality and is usually animal food, now that means that date was initially set aside, it's usable for animals, and since the pit of the date is still chewable by an animal, they like to chew on it, so then you can move it, because of the chazan agaviman. Since, because of the original date, the whole thing was going to be given for the animal, so the whole thing is considered to be still be roi, but a high-quality date, Persian dates, the parsiata, over there, it would be osir. Now, the reality is that it would only be osir if you hold that it's a dinner nolai, because it was mukhanotim, it's not mukhanotim. But we just said that we pass like Rabbi Shimon, so it shouldn't even be a problem. And yet, and Tosfos points out this continuation of the same sugya that we had yesterday, which is the question of an adam choshev needing to take another step so that it'll be less evident that you're directly dealing with something because you're relying on the sheep and Rabbi Shimon. To Rabbi Yosef, that was their response. Well, it's not that it was really us, sir, says Abaye Varov. It wasn't really us, we were just being machmir. So here too, this would be Shmuel was matat and lagav rifta, because he didn't really need to. But in order to cover up what he was doing, he used pot to move the pot and the garinim along with the pot. Pot as in English, pot. He wasn't being matir, pot. Now, Shmuel atami.
And hand.
Shmuel. Ose adam kol tzarko bipat. Now, this is Shmuel Shita, that a person is allowed to use bread for whatever purposes he wants. Because, I mean, otherwise you said this is a bizoyan for the pot. You use the pot in order to carry the useless seeds. I mean, pot is a very kosher thing. And this is how his shita is. And we pass in this, that this is only where it doesn't ruin the pot. It's not memayas the pot. But you can use it for your tzrachim. And Rabba also, actually, the gears appears based on Tosfos to be Rava, because it's the same shita that we had before. Rava was metatabu agav lakana de maya. He used a teacup to move the date pits. Ravuna Bereder of Yeshua, he made a pile of them. Once there's a pile of them, ugh, that's disgusting. So that he was able to move it, because the thing is, anything that turns you off, you're allowed to move. So he then treated it of a duki gerev shorin. Omele Ravash, I mean, I don't understand. What kind of hefter is that? Now I have to do that lechatchila? If there is a gerev shorin, then you can go ahead and move it, but you're not supposed to make a situation that's going to be machai of you to move something. Vechios and gerev shorin lechatchila? Rav Sheshet would spit them out. Zorik lebelishne. So he would throw it out with his tongue. Rav Papa Zarkla Achorei Hamita. He would throw it, Mash would throw it with his hands, behind the couch, and then pick it up after Shabbos, and that way he wouldn't have to carry it anywhere. Omru Alav of the Siddur. Omru Alav of Rabbi Zachariah ben Avkulas. Shoyom Achzir Panav Achorei Hamita. He wouldn't move it with his hands. He would put his face behind the couch they were eating on, and then it would be Zarkla, so that he wouldn't have to touch it and move it to a different place. Now, here it's actually my work as a poskim, whether you're allowed to take it out of your mouth and put it down, or whether it's best to take it out of your mouth with your tongue. Spitting is disgusting. Right? Yeah, it's bad with your tongue. Hadrach Motel Adam et Chavik Shenishbara. Now, we spoke earlier about the question of what to do in places of emergencies. And there we were talking about, can you be metaltalit into a different place? What can you be matzil on Shabbos? We came up with the esod over there that we are things that normally would be completely mutter. In a situation where you have a stress that is created because of an accident, a fire or a barrel that breaks and has liquid in it, and if you don't act instantaneously to save things or put out the fire, then something is, you're going to suffer terrible loss. Because of that, we need to channel your emotions. Because if we don't allow you to do something or allow you to do everything, your natural response will be to put out the fire or to carry even, bring Kalin through Rosh Hashanah to be matzah, what's in the barrel. The insight of Chazal is that once you give a defined response, it's possible to channel stress and then the person sticks to the defined response. But if you don't have a defined response, then things completely and rapidly get out of hand.
Stop, drop, and roll. Stop, drop, and roll. When somebody's on fire, they
can't
stop, drop,
and
roll.
It sounds like a nice dance. Yeah. Stop, drop, and roll.
Let's do it for
Portland.
Let's shake,
grab, and
that's rolling somebody else. That's what they call it, a roll. Anyway, so a chavis that breaks through nishbra. And here too we have a halacha that matzilina men or shalosh, the shalosh seudot. And we said before that if it's all in one container, it's not a problem. One container as much as one. You were talking about bringing a lot of smaller containers. You could save enough for three seudot. And you could tell everybody else, anybody who wants, come in. And bo vatzilu lochem. As long as bevat shalo yispog, you should not soak it up with a sponge. Well, it says it does. That's crazy. What do you mean? Not to, I mean, that's. I thought you said it's us. Obviously, I'm right. There's no problem of using a sponge on Shabbos. The only reason we say Bavat Shalei Yispog over here is in order to make it, as we're going to see in the Gemara, not an Uvda Dachol. That's what we're going to be. He's Bendayik, his Shita from the Gemara coming up. But we'll get back to the Shalei Yispog. Ein Sochatin Et HaPirot. And once we're on this topic of squeezing, then you should know that you cannot squeeze fruits to get liquids out of them. But what happens if it just leaks? Im yatzu miatzman, if the liquid leaks out by itself on Shabbat, it's osir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, let's not jump to conclusions. The reason it would be osir is because it's a gzera, and maybe you will actually squeeze it. We allow you to drink what's dripping. That tastes good. Why not just give it a little kvetch and get the rest out? It says Rabbi Yehuda, because of that, it's defined by the situation. What were these perot for in the first place? Did you put them here to eat, or did you put them here to squeeze? So ima ochlin, then you didn't want them to drip. And now they're getting ruined. So if you were going to eat them, then I had semiyam mutar. But if initially your intent was to squeeze them, and you were going to drink the orange juice, ima mashkin, then I had semiyam asur. So it makes sense to define it by the context. Chalot vash shirizkan merav Shabbat. They would take the contents of the wax with the honey together, grind it all up, and then let it continue to flow out so that it's basically separated from the wax. Now, if it was v'yotzu mi'atzma, it's osir, and Rabbi Elazar is matir, because he considers this not, everybody considers it not to be schita. The question over here is, we are afraid that you may do the risuk. So Mamela, he goes there even in Murusakim, Atusha Inan Murusakim, where you grind them up on Shabbos. So the Brayta says, Lo yispog b'yayin, don't collect with a sponge or with something that you could squeeze out when it comes to wine. Lo yitapeach b'shemen, shemen obviously does not have the right surface tension to be suffered up. And therefore, what you would do is you would try to pick up as much of it as you can with your hand, and, you know, it gets stuck to your hand, and then you take it off into a kli. Don't do that either. And look at the reason. Shalo yaseh kederach shalo seh b'chol. Says it does this right. What do you mean, shalo yaseh kederach shalo seh b'chol? That's pure shechita, unless I'm right, that there is no shechita, something that enters into something that is not its own juices. Now, those who show them that argue on him, which is almost everybody, says that what it means over here is not to be so fag and wait till after Shabbos to get it out. Doesn't mean to be so fag and to squeeze it out now and go back and so fag more. You know, or we'd be talking about the case where there is the Beit Achizas, you couldn't even come to be so fag while you're collecting it. Tanu Rabbanan, nitpazru lo perot b'chatzer. Somebody drops a bunch of fruit in a chatzer. Here too, we have an issue of uvda dechol. So he could be malaket al yad. He can collect a little bit at a time. Now this halach is only talking about where you're going to be taking it into another chotzer, even though you had an eruv with it. Anything that happens in your own house or in the same place, none of this applies. But because of its similarity to the other issues of carrying and so on, if you take it into another chotzer, so then, again, we don't want you to do a true kederach shalos b'chol. And because of that, you collect a little bit at a time. Some are not goris, including tosfos, this next word, v'ochel. You don't have to eat it. The point isn't that you eat it. It's just that you shouldn't put it into a big, gigantic barrel of stuff and so on. That's like you do during the week where you're collecting your perot to do whatever you're going to do with them. It just means that it's the way that you would deal with something that you don't mean to be storing for a long time and that you're going to be putting into your mouth, but you don't have to put it in your mouth. Again, and you can't squeeze. And then we got to the machlokas tanakam and reviewed about what is the halacha of those things that have gradually dripped out during Shabbat. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the difference is contextual. If you set it aside initially to eat, it's not a problem because you didn't want the mashkin. If, however, your intent ultimately was to squeeze it, you did want the mashkin, and therefore it's aser. Elmar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, look, you got to understand, the machlokes of your Reb Yehuda and the Chachamim is not across the board. Reb Yehuda is moda to the Chachamim on things that are almost always used for mashkin. And that includes grapes, and that includes olives. Those things, 95% of the production of grapes and olives is for squeezing. It's not, I mean, okay, there, you know, some people eat olives, but for heaven's sakes, compare the amount of olive oil that is sold with the amount of olives that are sold for eating, it's ridiculous. So it's essentially a squeezing food. There, Reb Yehuda's moda, and he wouldn't say, well, you intended to eat it. I mean, that's almost the definition of an olive. Once it starts dripping, the suggestion is so strong to anybody, heck, I might as well squeeze it, but that's what I normally do. So the fact that I would happen today to be in the mood to eat some grapes is not going to persuade me not to squeeze them once they start dripping. And because of that, of course, Reb Yehuda would be made. That's not contextual. So when it comes to Zeitin Va'anavim, my taima, kiven de l'schita, you know, since essentially they are meant for squeezing, when he sees them dripping, yoiv daite, he's going to start thinking about squeezing them too. Ula Amar Rav, whereas Ula quotes Rav is saying, as opposed to Rav Yehuda quoting Shmuel is saying, that Rabbi Yehuda, please don't confuse with Rav Yehuda the Amora, Rabbi Yehuda argued even with Zeitim Va'anavim, and Rabbi Yochanan said that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda on other things, not Zeitim Va'anavim, and even though he argues, we don't paskin like him when it comes to Zeitim Va'anavim. So we have a different approach. Rav Yehuda didn't have a different approach, but Lamaisa makes sense to follow Rav Yehuda's contextual reading if we're talking about things that really are defined contextually, and it makes sense not to follow him on things that are very reasonable to be choshish that the person will be in a position to keep squeezing when he sees them dripping. Omar Rabba, Omar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Modeh Hayah Rav Yehuda L'Chachomim, Bezeitim va'anavim. So as we said, the way that Shmuel understood it is that Reb Yehuda was made when it comes to Zeitim va'anavim. But he adds, the Chachamim were actually made at Reb Yehuda when it comes to other things, l'sharperon, which is a little bit strange because then what are they arguing about? If he agrees to them about the olives and the grapes, and they agree to him when it comes to everything else, there ain't much of an argument. So, another Reb Yirmiyahu or Reb Abba, for what? So then, so what are they arguing about? Oh, my leg, well, you go figure it out, man. Look at Tishkach, I'm not going to tell you.
So mean.
Reb Nachman Yitzchak, listen, I'll tell you what's going on over here. There really are three classes of perot. And it's interesting, in modern, very modern terms, there are not three classes of perot anymore. But it used to be that there were lots of things that you would never buy as Jews. There's no such thing. Banana juice? Who ever heard of banana juice? Hey, now they juice everything. It's a carrot juice, my God. But now they juice everything. But once upon a time, there were things that, like oranges, very common to make orange juice, but very uncommon to make banana juice. So therefore, there's three classes. When it comes to strawberries, pomegranates, well, lots of people do crush strawberries and pomegranates, and obviously, it's, you wouldn't say that 90% of the Yavul goes for juice, and maybe 30% of the Yavul goes for juice, 20% of the Yavul. That's what they're arguing. Titania, Zeitim Shemashach Me'am Shemen, V'anavim Shemashach Me'am Yayin. If you have these... Now, Rashi understands shemashach just means that the nimshechu, passive, even though it's using an active verb, he's saying it's just the same thing we've been talking about. Because it's very difficult to see how the Gemara would suddenly be referring to a case where he actually did it. V'hichnisan, and therefore Rashi would understand v'hichnisan means in a context where the original hichnisan, he's getting a little bit complicated, Rashi, over here, because he's got to change the meaning of every verb. So he says, Shemashach means that it was Zav by itself. And he says, look, we do use that word, Naharot HaMoshchim. What does that mean? Rivers that flow on their own. So here it's Shemashach, meaning on its own. The Ichnisan would have to mean, not after that, but that initially they had been put aside either to eat, Bein Loch or Bein Lamashkin, it doesn't matter. Whatever comes out of them is Osir. Okay, everybody agrees to that. And that is what we just said. Review it as Maitreza Chachamim. However, strawberries or Rimonim, so strawberries don't have any wine-like attributes. They're sweet, and therefore we call Shemashach Me'am Mayin. Rimonim are wine-like because they have that sharp tang to them, and actually we make Rimon wine. So Rimonim Shemashach Me'am Yayin, we call it Rimon wine. And the Gemara So then it depends. If initially they had been put there for ochlin, if initially it was lamashkin and or listam, without defining it. We're going to get back to this. But even if it's just listam without being defined, then Rabbi Yehuda says, Ayotzebim is usur. And here the Chachamim argue. Here they say, I don't care whether it's ochlin or lamashkin, it's always Ayotzebim usur. So this is how Rashi understands the Gemara. You can see why he wants to understand the Gemara this way, because obviously this is what we've been looking for if we're talking about the question of applying the machlokas to a case where it was zav me'alehim. Nonetheless, the language is really difficult. Therefore, Tosfos says the Gemara is actually introducing a new issue here, along with the previous issue. Mashach is a transitive verb, active. Somebody squeezed up. But then, having squeezed out the excess juice, he then set them aside to eat. And therefore, the Chiddush is, even in that case where it had initially been squeezed, Rabbi Yehuda nonetheless would come along and would say that it would be now that he set it aside for food, and he doesn't intend to squeeze it completely, he wants to eat the rest of the orange that's left after he squeezed the excess juice out, that then it would be considered also to be mutar alibid Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, now, the question that we just said was an alibid Rabbi Yehuda and or undefined, right? Stam, and or undefined. So in other words, whether he said it was mashkin, or he didn't say anything, it's still going to be us. It's only if he said specifically that it's food, then Rabbi Yehuda is matir. And Beit Shammai omrim, ma'avirin me'al ha'shulchan atzamot u'klipin, u'beit Hillel omrim misalek et ha'tavla kula u'mina'ara, ma'avirin ma'al ha'shulchan pirurim pachot mikizayit, v'sar shel afunim, v'sar adashim, v'teishu ma'achal be'ima. Sfog im yesh lo or beit achiza mekanchim bo, v'im lo'av ein mekanchim bo. U'benkach nito b'shabbat, eino mekabel tuma, or the other lashon which the poskim do not keep, but which the Tosfos Ritzis goreis, v'chachamim omrim mekanchim bo, v'nital b'shabbat. Reversal from our Mishnah. That actually Beit Shammai is one's machmir Rav Yehuda. Beit Hillel is Beikok Rabbi Shimon. Ma'avirim me'al ha'shulchan pirurim misayel el Rav Yochanan de'om Rav Yochanan pirurim she'im behem kizayit osu labdom b'yad. Se'ar shel afunim money Rabbi Shimon. Obviously, delet le'muksa. So then, how do you explain the seifa? Svog im yesh lo beit achizah mekanchim bo, v'im lav ein mekanchim bo, which seems to only go alibed a Rabbi Yehuda, the omer davar shenu mitkaven asur. No, but afilu Rabbi Shimon mod, edabaya v'rovet amr tavayu, mod Rabbi Shimon b'sikresh v'lo yamut, and if you're handling that svog, you're going to be squeezing it, unavoidably. Ani gari nida tamri amriyata sholatu tulinin, hoyo v'chazian agav iman for a behema, and parsiata is osir, of course, only if you hold mukhan ladam is not mukhan l'klavim, and therefore Shmuel was machmer on himself to be metal to them agav rifta. Shmuel atayimid yomer Shmuel, it's allowed to use rifta pat for whatever you need, as long as you don't ruin it. Rabba, Tosfos has Rava, is metatalu agav lekanya demaya, which would be a small cup. Ravuna Breaker of Yeshua Vadu ki Gerv Sharei, Amrla Ravashua, ma'am, you can't do that. Vriosin Gerv Sharei lechatkila. Rav Sheshet would flick them out from his mouth with his tongue, Zarko Belishne. Rav Papa, Zarko Achore Hamita. And many Paskin, even by taking them out with his hand, and actually Mishmur is not to that. Omro Lava Rabbi Zachayev and Avkulas, Shahaya Machzir Panav, Achare Hamita, Vizorkan. Hadra Lach Motela. Chavit Shanishbra Matsidinem and Amazon Shalosh Sudot, Vomer Lachirim, Bo Vatsilo Lachem, Ubo Vatsilo Yisfor. In Sochatin da Perot, Otsimi Amashkin, Vim Yatsumi Hatzman, Asurin. Rabbi Yudaimer, Imla Ochlin. Hayot v'emutar v'lamashkin yatz v'masur chalot dvash riskan merav shabbat v'yatzumi atzvan asurim v'rabi elazar moster gores is matir. Tana lo yispok b'yayin v'lo yitapeach b'shemen sh'lo yaseh k'derech shehu oseh b'chol. By the way, one other teretz is that sh'lo yaseh k'derech shehu oseh b'chol is only referring to lo yitapeach b'shemen, but the sfig of the yayin would actually be the yoraita, not like the Tosfos read. Tana rabban nitpazru lo peirot b'chatzer malaket ha'yad ha'yad. Tosfos does not have the next word v'ochel because he doesn't have to eat it. It's just a modality. Even so, halacha would only be Rabbi Yehuda b'shar perot. And actually, the modim chachamim Rabbi Yehuda b'shar perot. The Tanya is a deep shemashach miyam shemen, v'anavim shemashach miyam mihayin, v'ignisan bein la'ochlin bein la'mashkin, ayotzim miyam asur. Tutim shemashach miyam mihayin, v'rimonim shemashach miyam mihayin, v'ignisan la'ochlin, ayotzim miyam mutar, la'mashkin, v'listam, ayotzim miyam asur. V'yver Rabbi Yehuda, v'chachamim omrim, bein la'ochlin, bein la'mashkin, ayotzim miyam asur. Let's try this again. Sar Shalapunim Lakor is going according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that even though now I suddenly have something that's not roly, so nonetheless it's not a problem. I wouldn't do that. The less lay mukta. He doesn't hold a mukta in the sefer. Take a look at the last part over here. It says Smogim Yeshua Beta Pisame Kantimba. I doubt that that's working. In love, in the Kamakim book. Also, the Rebbe Yehuda, Dhamma Dhavashan of Iskavin Asur. Thank you. Okay, great. One way or the other, we'll get something. Right? Okay, thank you very much. So, this part that says that you cannot use a sponge seems to be going according to Rebbe Yehuda, because according to Rebbe Shimon, I have no intent over here of squeezing something out of the sponge. I'm simply using the sponge to clean off the table. I don't want to wash anything. I don't want to get anything wet. So why can't I use the sponge? No, a sponge, it's impossible to use without a beit akiza, without squeezing it. Therefore, even Rabbi Shimon is moda, because, as we've seen many times before, the Abaye, the Rova, the Amir Tarvayu, Moder Rabbi Shimon, the Sikresha, the Loyombo. Rabbi Shimon is moda, and in a case where it's a sikresha, that you cannot use it, even though it's then a miscavenant. And over here, there's no wet. There's no way to avoid it. Hani garinim de tamre armaita, sharlatotelinim of the parsaita asur. There are different types of tamarim, different types of dates. The armaita, the Arami, tamarim are low-quality tamara, and they would often feed them to animals. Therefore, if you ate them and you left over the pit of the date, you could give the pit of the date to the animal, because the whole thing was roy from before Shabbos for an animal. Marsha'in came, the Persian dates, which are very high-quality dates that you would never give to an animal. So over there, you wouldn't be allowed to feed it to the animal because it would be to now suddenly mukta, it would be nila, it wasn't right for them. Shmuel metaltelu agav rivta. Shmuel would mix this with bread, and he would use the bread now as the reason for being metaltel, even the pits. And this is Shmuel l'shitaso. Yomar Shmuel, Osadam Kotzachol Bepat. According to Shmuel, a person can do whatever he wants with bread, and therefore it's not considered to be bizayon, so he puts the whole thing together over here, and he can feed it to the animal like that. You know how these archaeologists, they don't have this clue as to how things work, you know.
So they see something, they jump to conclusions. So they decided that the Talmud Bavli was actually sponsored by various commercial interests. One of the riots is that it says over here Sharon shops as a simon. They understand simon means as a word from our sponsor. It just goes to show how ridiculous it is. But actually, what Sharon shops stands for over here was the name of all of the mandionim to come, and Shmuel and Rabba and Hunah and so on. Right? Okay. So Shmuel held you can use pot for whatever you want, and therefore that's how he managed to get away to use up these dates, take them off of the table. Rabba was metalta lehu agav lakta demaya. Rabba would put them into a container of water, and that way he moved the container with the tamarim in it. So apparently what we've got over here, if you think about it, is a continuation of the sugya we had before about the bar yoni that was outside, that we put something on top of it, put a socket on top of it, and so we carried it, and the Rabbi Yosef was very upset about it before, so Rava and Shmuel both had to justify what they did by saying that actually they were just bringing Machmer, because Mikra didn't, they could have had the pigeon raw. So it was royal, they could have used the straw to lie on. And they just didn't want people learning the wrong thing from them. But the Etzem, there was no real problem. Now, how come over here all of a sudden we're ready to say that you can do this with up to you? And the Metalpa was agav something else. That's why we don't do children. Agav something else. So Tursus explains that even though we saw before Rava Paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds a Muktzah, and Mekori, he should be the last one that should go be Metalpas, this Agav Lekanya de Maya. Tosis says a tremendous fiddish, that the only time that we answer that kind of thing is when it would have been movable yesterday. So the case of the Bar Yuni that we had before, the Kash, were all things that could have been done before. We're not matir tiltul in that fashion, agav, something else, when it could have been done before. But even Rabbi Yehuda is made it, that if it wasn't biyot for the talta before, these garinim would just be on Shabbos. So therefore, we don't force it. And then, by the way, even for an adam chashev, it's mutter, thus it brings a riot. So that exactly with the same people, Rabbi Yosef and Abaya, there's a riot from Beza. That in this case it's not a problem. So that it's, if it's created today, it would be mutter, even according to Rabbi Yosef, who was the one who was so angry yesterday and made fun of them. Oh, the children are being so uppity that it would be mutter, even according to him. Which is a fantastic tradition. So now, there's a number of different ways, therefore, we have to deal with leftover pieces on the table. Now this is very nogea to people who eat garinim, right? Because there we have, basically, we have a pile of refuse. The shaila is, what do you do to clean off the table? And it's interesting that there are those poskim who say that nowadays, since people who eat garinim have a tendency to suck the shells,
while
they salt and it's, you know, whatever roasted flavor, but they suck the shells.
Those
aren't professional. So, Shaila, but it comes out. According to this, would be royal law now.
Still,
yeah, there's a lot of the modern places. Yeah. So it could be there's not a problem with garinim. It depends how big of a garinim slab you are.
Yeah, it's
a bit rough. Okay. But lamaisa, it could be that it's included in the atzomes for cleaving, that you're not allowed to take off directly, and you would have to take off through the ni'ur of the tabla. Now, ni'ur of the tabla is a big focus also. What is ni'ur of the tabla? Because as I mentioned to you earlier, the Kazanisha Shita, and he brings riots from many others, obviously, is that we do not call tiltul min hatzad the use of another object to move the thing that you're moving. That's not called tiltul min hatzad. Therefore, katoto ben atzad is that you would do it in an unusual way. So according to him, the niyor atabla is to push it over, but not to lift it up, take it over to the garbage can and dump it in the garbage can. Now nobody's going to pick up the tabla and dump it over on the floor, obviously. So that's not exactly going to be much of a help if you want to be machmir, like the cousin H.
You can't just take the tablecloth.
So what you could do is you could have other things in it, which is the case that we have over here. This is the aga of black and the maya and so on. In other words, if you're meniach al hikarotino, that's like the thing. So then finally you pick up it. For that, it's very, very useful indeed, mahalaka, to use what they many people do today, which is the plastic tablecloth. The plastic tablecloth, you pick up the whole thing. It has in it things that are usable still, napkins, so on, large pieces, or not only things that are completely moved. So, and you can throw that out. So then that would indeed be the case, the ultimate case, of a tabla. You don't have to now sweep up the things from off of the tablecloth.
Could you just take it, that tablecloth, and shake it outside?
Yeah. If it's got other things on it.
Bread is other things, right? The leftover bread pieces.
Well, no, the leftover the bread pieces over here is not considered to be royally other. And it's natural kapurim, of course. Mikazayit, but that's the shabbat. There's animals in town that will eat it.
But if you have one of the
other
on the table,
it
will be okay.
Can you put the klipot directly into a plate?
That's exactly what Rava did. But it would have to be with something in it, like the mice. I got something else.
Anything else in
it? No. Yeah.
Something
else that you want to carry.
She talked about how to use a pilgrimage that is the shinoi. The shinoi plus Deborah. I think it was just the shinoi alone. The elbow that was such a man of fatigue.
No, it had to be agav in order for it to be pilgrimage outside. Agav,
yes.
So you're doing something else. Agav doing something else. That's like the case of the one who walks through the Otzer. It says over there, as you walk through the Otzer, you can knock the Kovios, that type of thing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm not going to remember now.
Okay, so, but there's other ages.
You need several garinim that aren't eaten yet.
Yeah. But also, that's also nice.
But you can still throw them away. You know, you can throw the whole bunch and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, there's other ages as we continue in Sharon Shops. We'll see that there's also of Yoshua from the Shops. And he was Avid al Kikar of Shorain. So what he did is he made a pile. So he spit out the garinim. Then he had a disgusting pile of garinim in front of him. Who wants this around on Shabbos? Since Chazal were matir moving a Gerav Sharei, so now we can pick it up and throw it in the garbage. Because you're allowed to get rid of a Gerav Sharei, it becomes equivalent to a chamber pot. Omale Rav Ashi La Mema, what kind of eitzah is that? Osin Gerav Sharei L'Katchila. Wait a minute, L'Katchila you can't, if L'Maitzah you ended up making a problem in your home, then the Chazal were matir you to take it out, but it doesn't mean that they said you're allowed to create the problem in the first place. So Reb Sheshe is Zorek Lubelisha. Reb Sheshe would flick it out with his tongue so that he wouldn't come to be metab to be a dying. To avoid, so this is really the big limitzchus on all those people. The reason that they do that spitting business is not because they don't want to be muzman to Besdin as Aiden because they're puzzle Aidens. It's rather because they don't want to create a Gerav Sharei on Shabbos or to be old Rambuks if I touch
you. You would all week long, so
now, Rav Papa, in order to avoid both issues, he indeed flicked them out, but Zorik Le'akore Hamita, where you wouldn't see it. So
his wife must have loved it.
Yeah. And Omro Lava Rabbi Zakaria ben Abkulas, Shayu Magzir Panava Kore Hamita Vizorkam. Indeed, they say that where he was lying, he would twist his head behind the meat. And there he would get rid of them. Doesn't say he spit. Flick. He's a rake. It's not quite the same. Again, according to those poskim, you don't have to do this regarding him. Because they're Roy Lachila, you can take him out with your fingers. Adren Allah from Otel Adam is the known.
Come to the Heidi Kepere.
Kavit שנשברה. מצילין אמן המזון שלוש תעודות, יאמר לאחרים, בואו ואצילו לכם. בבד שלא יספור. We have the same problem that we had before by a delayed time. If you have a chavis that breaks on Shabbos, and it starts to leak, now you got a problem. Because if we allow you to go to town, there's easily a chance that you'll end up being Mechal Shabbos. You'll bring Kalin from Mishas Rabin to be Matzah Yayin. You'll end up bringing a hammer and fixing the chavis, or whatever, or glue, fixing the chavis. So therefore, we were matir just like we did by a dvoika, mazon, shalosh sudot, even with many different kalim. Before we ended up saying that in kli echad you could say more than shalosh sudot. So you're starting about to go to a lot of tier with different kalim, and you get enough wine or enough oil, whatever the coffee was, that would support you for three meals. And not only that, you could tell other people, go vatilulakem. Why don't you come and get yourself some wine or some oil? But you don't want to soak this up, because we're afraid that then you'll squeeze it out. You're not allowed to squeeze fruits to get mashkim out of it. That would be, if it would be meant for that, it would be mamish, shechita d'oraisa. Ve'im yatzu me'atzma masurim. But if it leaked out, so you had a pile of perot which were overly ripe and they start to leak, then even if they came out on their own, the liquid, it would still be asur. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it would depend. Im lo'ochlin, if you had set aside these fruits to be used to eat, then you are not all that happy about their getting mushy and starting to leak. Your intent never was to make juice out of them. Therefore, hayotze mehem mutar, because we don't have a chashash that you're going to squeeze them. Im l'mashkin, but if your original intent was to get juice out of them, then hayotze mehem asur, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Chalot dvash shemiskan me'erev Shabbat. If you took the challah out of the hive, you crushed it up, and now the derech is that the honey continues to drip over the course of time. It's not the derech to squeeze it. You let it drip out slowly. So then, the yatzu matzban, on Shabbos, it would be usur, because we're afraid if you have maybe non-merusak chalot dvash, that you would end up being merasek. You had a lot to be merasek. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer matir, Rebbe Eliezer says, he said, look, the derech is not to do shechita. So if it came out by itself, I'm not precious enough. If you say that I'll come to be merasek, that I'm not worried about.
The night that
comb. Well, on the comb, won't you be
but
if
this
didn't
work,
the
person
has to be broken. You have to break it. Read Marat. That's the reason, yes. Says the Gemara. Lo yisbog v'yayi. So it's similar to dash, and it's similar to tovin, if Marat is small. Lo yisbog v'yayi, don't soak up wine. V'lo yitapeach b'shemen, and don't be mitapeach. Mitapeach means to put your fingers in it, and you get the oil to stick to as much surface as they can, and then you wipe your fingers off on the edge of a kli to get the oil off.
What's wrong with
that? Not to do it the way you normally do it. The problem of lo yispog is not because lo yasek ederem shoseh b'chol, but rather because you'll come to be sochet, whatever it is that you were sochet. And indeed, some learned that the lo yasek ederem shoseh b'chol is referring only to the tifua, not to the spog. The Rambam puts it together, and he says, k'dei shlo yasek ederem shoseh b'chol v'yobo l'idei shechita. Because if you soak it up, so you'll start thinking, I'm soaking it up, I'll squeeze it out and soak up some more. And that would actually, so it's another way of saying that there's also a gezerah, or some learn it's two different times. There's even besides the union of shechita, Stam, you shouldn't do even the Sviga. You have a choice of a cold, and therefore, so that's what it's talking about, even if it has a Beit Yad. Because the issue over here is not because of the Cheshash of Schita as you're picking it up. That's not the point. But the Derek Shorek said before. Tana Rabbanan, it's Pazrulo Perot Bechatzer. If your Perot scattered over the yard, Malaket al-Yad al-Yad, you pick them up a little bit, one by one. Tosis doesn't like the word V'Ochel. Because since it continues now to say, Avolo l'toch ha-sal, v'lo l'toch ha-kupa, shelo yaseh k'derek sho'aseh b'chol, so then what do you have to eat it for? If I take a lot at a time? So the whole problem over here is uvda d'chol, apparently. But to take a lot in your hand should not be a problem. Those who are gores v'ochel learn that it's talking about that since the Paris fell all over the yard, and there's rocks and sticks and dirt and so on, so this is really, looks like a case where you're being bearer. And if you're being bearer, to eat. You're supposed to be bearer and eat, not to be bearer a lot of the time. So in the mail it says that you should be bearer v'ochel, meaning kedera, that you should, even though it isn't mamish, bird. It's on top to pick it up. Yeah. Ain't so
what if it's in the yard or in your floor?
Because if it's on the floor, this does, it's not mixed with other things. Ein sochat in the pirot. Amber of Yudam Rishmu Moda Rebuta Vachachomim Bezeitim Va'anavi. Even though Rebuta says that if your intent was not for it to be a mashke, then if it leaks, it's okay to drink the mashke. He agrees with the Chachomim that if we're talking about grapes and olives, since it's so much a norm to make juice from grapes and from olives, commonly known as wine and oil. So therefore, the moment he sees them leaking, he'll already come and squeeze it, because this is it's a fundamental and primary use. So that he would be murdered. My time, Kiva de la Schita, Nino, their main purpose is for Schita. Once he sees them leaking, he'll say, okay, let's squeeze it out. V'ulam Arab says, Chalukah Yareb Yoda, even b'zeitim v'anavim, since he had been meyachated for eating, he's not going to come to squeeze. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, halacha to Rabbi Yehuda b'shaar peirot, v'ein halacha to Rabbi Yehuda b'zeitim v'anavim. Rabbi Yochanan says what? They argue, but I'll tell you. When it comes to other peirot, then your intent is definitive. That's how we prosecute. Like Rabbi Yehuda, you've got peaches. Because the peaches got a little mushy, therefore going to squeeze the peaches. So the mela is not a chashash. But we don't pass you like Rabbi Yehuda b'zeitim v'anavim, because over there, in Afinani, there is a chashash. Furthermore, this now gets really complicated, because we thought we could keep life easy, and have two categories, peaches and zeitim v'anavim. But life ain't so simple. Because Amar Rav, Amar Rav Yudah Mishmur, Moda Ya Rav Yudah L'Kachomim B'Zeitim V'Anavim. Actually, Rav Yudah agreed to the Kachomim B'Zeitim V'Anavim that if they leak, you can't use what leaks out of them on Shabbos. But the Kachomim were motive to Rav Yudah on things other than Zeitim V'Anavim, B'Shar Perot. Huh? This sort of leaves you scratching your head, because then as Rav Yirmiyah said to Rav Abba, all right, so tell it to me, Noof. So what are they arguing about? I mean, if they agree to them, and he agrees to them, so Elvavai Pligay. Amalei Lachitishka. Go figure it out, man. I'm not telling you everything. I'm just giving you hints. So in other words, life is not so push it. It's not a question of the things being divided simply between the grape people and the peach people. Oh, no, no.
Really?
The whole middle part of society. The gray area people. And what is that talking about? Omer and Nachman by Yitzchak, I figured it out. It's talking about Tutim v'Rimonim. Because berries and rimonim, there are in fact a fine number of people that like to have rimonim juice and a rimonim wine for Shabbos. I had an uncle many years ago who would squeeze rimonim very, very carefully. In those days, rimonim, then, when he didn't have bathrooms in the first, rimonim was like the treat. And he would squeeze out rimonim Erev Shabbos. This was his big, covered Shabbos, his big splurge by rimonim. And on Shabbos, he would have all of his descendants, which numbered in the 70s. They would come in one by one, and to each one he would give a little glass. It was filled up maybe a sixth of a glass, seventh of a glass, but each one would get from his grandfather a Shabbos treat with something to see. Well, obviously they all used the same glass because he only had two or three. But he would give all of his descendants a little bit of rimonjus. It was absolutely beautiful. So, okay, so there's people that like to have rimonjus on the in the Shuk of Meshur, inside the Shuk.
Right.
Yeah. And lots of people like what they call petel. And petel, I mean, even though you think you got to be crazy to drink petel, especially once you're out of the army or out of school, but there are people who will squeeze tootsie.
I have a question of
No, that's the whole point. If you did designate, then we have this much. We'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah. So therefore, and I'm not just making this up, says Rabbi Nachman. I'll tell you why I think it's misfabricated. Tanya, Zeitim Shemashach Mehem Shemen, Me'anavim Shemashach Mehem Yayin. I'm going to tell you how Rashi learns this. He learns the word mashach means kemayim hamoshchim. Mayim hamoshchim does not mean water that squeezes something. Mayim hamoshchim means flowing water. In which case, zeitim shemashach mehem this means zeitim that shemen flowed from, or that hamoshchim flowed from. There's no verb here. Nobody did anything. We just talk about the flowing of the infinitive. So, okay. So there was wine, there was oil that came out on its own. In cases where he had been machnisan, whether it was la'okho, bein, la'mashkin, doesn't matter. Because since it's a tim v'anavim, ayatsim mehem asof. To tim, shemashak mehem mayim, v'rimonim, shemashak mehem yayim. So there, it depends. If it's yifnisim la'okho, and ayatsim mehem mutar. L'mashkin l'stam ayotzi mehem asur divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda's matir even the tutim ve'anabim, tutim amin and rimonim, in a case where your intent had been to eat them as foods rather than to make them liquids. Ve'chachamim omrim bein lo'ochlin u'bein l'mashkin ayotzi mehem asur. Then what is it therefore that they're arguing about? To tim v'rimonim. And here's my raya. So Enochinam, peaches? What's the chance the guy's going to decide to make a peach juice? Was he working for Pregad? So the male, we don't have a kashash, unless he was miyasated to squeeze his peaches, we don't have a kashash even if it leaked on its own. Zeitiv anavim, there for sure he's going to think of squeezing it, even if he had been miyasated for food. Tutim v'rimonim. There we have our machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. That's how Rashi learns the subject. Tosfos says it doesn't make any sense. I'll tell you why it doesn't make any sense. First of all, says Tosfos, if it's referring to the juice, then when it was talking about the tutim and rimonim, why wouldn't it have used a lashon rabim? Nope. Mayim is Lashon Rab. So which is Mayim HaMoshim, not Mayim HaMoshet. Correct? So why does it say Shemashchus? Okay. Interesting point. But that's a grammatical point. But Tosfos also has a very telling conceptual point. Because if you're learning like Rashi, why isn't this a tiyuta of the shita that said before we should have brought tiyuta the Rav, tiyuta the Rabbi Yochanan? Because they say Chamukaya Rabbi Yehuda Afilu Bezekim Vanavim, and here it says Rabbi Yehuda is not Chamuk Bezekim Vanavim. The first case is Zekim Vanavim. That's fine. Don't point to everybody. Now it comes to Timbri Monim. Ah! All of a sudden we have a Machlokas with Yehuda Nachashonim. The Gemara doesn't ask us if you have to, why not? Furthermore, says Tosfos, isn't it a little bit strange to say that V'hichnisan Bein Lofa Bein Lamashkin means, and back in the beginning, before this happened, he had put them away? Doesn't V'hichnisan normally mean, and now he puts them away? Not that he had put them away originally. Therefore, Tosfos changes the entire meaning of this. It means, according to Tosfos, that he, there is the verb, the transitive verb, he had been Moshek then, before. And since he had been Moshek then before, now you've got a problem. Because now, being as he had once been Moshek, we have to be Chayish, that even though he's putting them away now to use as food, you know what? He's already looked at these things as a source of schita, so Mamela, he would go ahead now and he would be soaking further. That's how we would learn that Rabbi Yehuda is Meida. Because since he had originally been Moshe, so Mamela, even Rabbi Yehuda is Meida in that case, but not in any case. Shmuel learns that Rabbi Yehuda was in fact Meida B'Zeis Menavim. According to him, why does it say Mashach Me'am Tchila? Even without being Mashach Me'am Tchila, it shouldn't be a problem. So Shmuel would learn the reason it says Mashach is to tell me that even if he had been Moshech the Rimon or the Tut before, Afal Piken, if he's Miyachet at Lachila, we don't have to be worried that what's leaking now should be Yasser, because maybe he'll lead it. It's coming to tell me it's finished.
And why is
it? Why is
what? That by the Tutim of the Rimon, sorry, the Tutim of the Rimon, that's the authority that makes Mashach.
Because he set it aside now for a few.
Even though he already started.
Yeah. He's made up his mind. He doesn't want to use it for that. Okay. So Tainas, and it works out beautifully in the Gemara, because it really is extremely disturbing. To find a brisa about which everybody was arguing, that supports one side, and just have the Gemara use it as a raya, that the case that we're referring to is to the Marie Monim without having it shed any light on what had happened to the whole Machlokas earlier. Okay, the problem at this point is that the Gemara is about to ask a kasha that finishes only at the bottom of the next dot, and the next amud, and that has no place to stop before we get to the end of the... Yes, but I think we should save it for tomorrow. Okay? It's good. It's been a disastrous day. It's not wonderful. My new recording device is destroyed.
The previous... Early in the Amud, something happened?
We plugged it in.
Early in the Amud, it was Rebbe that plugged that
in. Yeah,
I'm
just
making sure. Early in the Amud, the case of Mipazrulo, Peros, Bechatzar, that case.
What?
The case of Mipazrulo, Peros, Bechatzar. Why is there no Talmud from Ma'amir? Ma'amir there. Ma'amir is only going to come directly off the tree?
Something that grew in a place at the end of the apple.
Amen. Sure, it wasn't really good.